The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Backstory. Let's Hear It on WTBR-FM Pittsville with Roberta McCullough-Dews. Thanks for tuning in. So today we have with us Keith Willis. He is a former NFL player and co-founder of Elite 360 Recruiting. And Keith has been in the Berkshires, and he's been speaking to various student groups and other groups as well, sharing messages of inspiration and motivation. So Keith, thank you for making time in your busy schedule to be with us today.
Good morning. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's always good to come back to the Berkshires. You know, I really love it up here. And these kids and parents and coaches, they're really, you know, just great people. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
I'm so glad. So thank you. And, you know, let's just get into it. So you mentioned that you love the Berkshires. You've had quite an agenda. Just give me a little bit about what you've been doing since you've been here.
Yeah, so we have to give a huge shout out to my brother Warren Dews for just making this happen, because without him, you know, I wouldn't be here, and his relationships he's built over the years being here. So I'm super grateful for him and everybody we've been connected to. So since I've been here, I've been very fortunate to go to a couple of different high schools and go around town with Warren and meet a lot of influential people who are doing amazing things out here, seeing how they're raising the community to the next level and building the economic, you know, doing the economic development aspect of it. So it's really good just to get familiar with the Berkshires, the DNA, the fabric of what's going on here. So that's what I've been doing the first couple of days. And also just taking some time during the day to relax as well. I've been very fortunate to stay over here. I believe it's called the Lake House. You know, huge shout out to them for sponsoring me to be here and taking in the scenery and being a chance to get away from the hustle and bustle to restore my energy and love. I just truly appreciate it. So it's really good.
All right. That's one. Sounds like quite an agenda, and you're going. But I want to know, to juxtapose that a little bit, where's home? So where are you coming from?
Yeah. So I'm originally from Virginia, north of Virginia. There's two different parts of Virginia. There's like rural Virginia, and then there's other parts of Virginia. I'm from the rural part of Virginia. All right. And then number two, I live in Maryland. I currently live in Maryland, the Bowie, Prince George County area. And that's where I'm coming from before I came up here.
Okay. And so describing like both settings, how would you describe the Berkshires compared to like home?
Wow. It's a huge difference. the first thing I'll say, it's a lot busier where I'm from. A lot busier, more city life. It's just like nonstop. A lot of it's like on the go. Two, there's a lot more happening. There's a lot of good business up here, but it seems like back home, everybody's doing everything when it comes to business, sports. It's just like nonstop.
Right.
The weather is a lot warmer. I want to say nicer, warmer down south than compared to here. But also it's just like, you know, and there's a lot more culture, you know, and ethnicity where I come from, you know, too, as well. So coming up here is like a whole different world, but I love it though. Gives you a different feel, different energy up here. And again, it's a chance to just let my soul rest when I come up here as well.
And touching upon that, because I think you hit on some market differences, right? The business and the culture. And I think it varies, right? Because as a New Yorker, I know what you mean in terms of that hustle and bustle and that energy. And, you know, business development and culture looks different here. It's like we have it. It's just a different form of it here. And I think you're right to say that when you come here, it's a slower pace of life, right? It's you can relax a little bit. I liken it to when I'm headed down to New York City, I'm on the Taconic, and I already know I have to get into go mode, right? I have to be on the offensive. As I'm near New York City, it's right, eat or be eaten, right? As I'm coming back up to the Berkshires, I can sort of let my guard down a little bit and I can relax. And so I love the idea that you're able to have the hustle and bustle, but still be in a place where you can have that slower pace, but still have those good relationships. And I know you made a lot of great ones while you were here. So that's a good thing. I'm curious, Keith, because you've done a lot of talking here, and I always like to, with my guests, take it back to when they were the little versions of themselves. So if you indulge me for a little bit, I want to go back to little Keith, right? If we
Okay.
can. And when you were growing up, did you always have a sports mindset? Like, did you always know, like, sports is my thing?
Absolutely. I was very fortunate to, come from a two-parent household where both my parents played college sports. My mother was professional as well. And so sports and education were huge in our family growing up. And my mother's been, was teaching for 30 plus years. My grandparents were teachers and professors and superintendents. So I grew up in that type of competitive household when it came to sports and education. So I always knew sports was it. I knew sports was a way for me to continue to further my education at the collegiate level. That vision was painted early and often because the example was set in my household. And also I have a twin sister as well, and she's the same way, where she came up and she played college sports and got an education at the next level of playing collegiate ball. So it was a super healthy but competitive environment when we grew up. But like, yeah, sports was it. I did football, basketball, baseball, soccer, karate. My mother had us in everything growing up. And yes, yeah, so track and field, cross country, like whatever you think of, ping pong, bowling, like we did it all. And we
Was
did not
it,
doing it in the leagues.
yeah, was it because you had like a lot of energy that you displayed at an early age, that you just had all of this energy and you needed to get it out? Because sometimes parents see something and they're like, okay, this one needs to be in all of this so that they can get their energy out. Or did you go and say, listen, I want to do this stuff?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't have a choice. My mom signed us up. I just did it. And then when we did it, I
Yeah.
don't know if she put me, that's actually a question for her. I don't know if she put me in because I had a lot of energy. I just knew when I showed up, I was supposed to do well at it and learn it and do well. And so, I loved it though. Like I never felt pressured. Like I was doing too much. This is like all I knew. I didn't know what life was like without sports. Like I was always in something. So this is what my parents did, and I didn't know any difference.
And when you say that your parents, they played sports too, like we're talking like track and different things like that, and for your mom,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
okay.
So my mom played, my father played college basketball. All
Okay.
right. And then my mother played college basketball, track, and volleyball. And
Wow.
they both went to Cheney State University in Pennsylvania. And
Okay.
yeah, in the Philly area. So they did that. And my mother went on to play in the very, very first women's professional basketball league, and she's in the Hall of Fame for basketball as well.
So it's
So
like you come from really good stock. So you're
oh,
already
yeah.
like you're like set up. So it's not like you're an anomaly, like, oh, there's Keith Willis and his twin sister. No. You already come from a place where you have this strong foundation. Now, Keith, I'm curious because you have this, first of all, you have this pedigree, right? This athletic pedigree that already has positioned you for success. But there's a difference between you're doing your thing, you're really good. And then you say on your, I don't even know if they were doing vision boards back then, but maybe on your wall, NFL. So I'm trying to connect, like, did you in your mind as a student athlete, even at that young age, have the NFL in your radar, your capacity?
Absolutely not. It was the NBA. That's all I knew was
Really?
NBA. I grew up a huge basketball fan. That's what I nobody my family was a football. We weren't football. My family wasn't football. We were basketball, And so I grew up in a basketball culture. I hooped every day, all day, every neighborhood, every park, every high school. If there's a court, I was hooping. And so it wasn't until college, it wasn't until maybe halfway. I'll tell you how I came into football. So I had basketball on my mind all through my childhood. And then after my 8th grade year, we moved to Virginia because my dad was in the military. So we moved to Virginia, and it was a different energy, a different culture there than where I came from. And people were a lot more aggressive. There was a lot more people were on edge. And so when I played sports, I wasn't edgy enough. I wasn't aggressive enough. I was kind of passive, but I was talented. So my mother's like, okay, let's fix this. We're gonna put you a football for a year to get you tougher to play basketball. So going into my 9th grade year is the first time I ever even played football. And she was like, all right, you will do this, and then this will help you play more physical on basketball. And football happened to come natural to me.
Okay.
And I took my first hit. It didn't hurt. And next thing you know, it took off from there. And I was very fortunate to still play basketball through high school and became All-American in football and All-State and all perform, you know, top 300 in the country for basketball. So yeah, it worked out in both sports because of that.
So to paint the picture for those who can't see you, how tall are you?
I'm 6'6".
Okay. So okay. So you understand how he could be a basketball standout as well as a football standout. Now, I got to also ask this question because the physiques are different, right? For like basketball and football. Did you like gain weight like to
Nah, that wasn't it. You know, especially back then, I was just a pure athlete. A 6'6". I was,
Okay.
at that time, I was weighing maybe 190. I wasn't the biggest guy, but I was tough-minded. I was really good at both sports, and I lifted weights. I was strong, but I wasn't like, I had the same body type for both sports. And so playing tight end in football and playing forward in basketball, it was similar body types anyway. And it's just
Okay.
yeah. And so, but I didn't put on weight really until I got to college. That's when I started
Okay.
putting on.
Interesting. So I think I love the fact that one, you thought you were going to go into the NBA, but it actually was the NFL. That you landed and you have a pretty good resume. I mean, I just was looking at the list here. Green Bay Packers, Seattle Seahawks, Cleveland Browns, Denver Broncos, and Kansas City Chiefs. That's an impressive roster.
I'm very fortunate. I know a lot of especially as I get older now and wiser, I should say, a lot of men had a dream of trying to just make it there. And when you're in it, you're in it. You don't think it's a big deal. You know it's a big deal, but you don't think it's a big deal because you're focused on what you got to do at that time. And since I've now that I'm a true fan of the game, I realized what I did was special, and the work I put in to get to that point, it wasn't easy. There's a lot of adversity along the way, but we made it happen. And playing for those different teams, I learned about so much about well, business, and then playing with a lot of great athletes. And I mentioned last night, one of the talks I did was that I didn't realize how many Hall of Fame athletes I was playing with. Because we were just all friends and teammates and boys. But
Right.
now that every year the Hall of Fame game, guys are getting inducted into the Hall of Fame over the last 10 years. I'm like, wow, man, I played with him. Oh, that was my former teammate. Oh, I played against him a couple of times. And
Right.
now I'm really appreciating the greatness of who they are and what they did for the game. And I'm super grateful I was able to share a locker room, share the field with these amazing athletes. So yeah, I'm grateful for my five teams, the five organizations that gave me a job to live my dream out. Full time, so I'm really grateful for that.
It's astounding. And one of the things that when so anyone who knows me knows that like I jump on the bandwagon when it comes to sports. Like when it starts to get popular, I'll start to tune in. But like I'm not like a true sports junkie. But I will tell you when they have like the draft pick and I watch that and I see the elation and the happiness and the joy. Do you recall like when you were like the draft pick for entering these different teams? Do you remember how you felt at that moment?
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, it was a mixed emotions, to be honest with you. So when I came out, I knew I had a shot at the NFL after my sophomore year of college. I knew that I'd get a shot if I continued to do what I had to do. And when I went through the whole draft process, the combines, the all-star games, the pro days, and when draft day came, I actually fell through the draft, meaning like I didn't get drafted right away. I came in as a free agent. And I remember I was getting phone calls through the entire draft saying they're going to pick me in the next round or make me the next pick. And my phone was going off the entire draft. And it was frustrating because they went and make that pick. So when the draft was over, I had over 15, 16 teams call me within 5 minutes of the draft. I had a chance to pick where I wanted to go. And that's when I picked to go to Green Bay to play for the Packers. So that part of it was. The process of it was tough because of the emotional roller coaster. I turned my phone off at one point. I left my house for a couple of hours because I was so frustrated watching the draft, watching these guys go before me. I knew I was better than them. But then when I finally signed the contract, they would say I was a Green Bay Packer. My emotions flipped immediately. Like, oh my gosh, I'm in the NFL. I got this money coming in as a sign-up bonus. Like, what am I gonna do now? This is so cool. So
Now I
it
have
was
to ask you about that. Like, We know, I think nowadays there's more of a awareness around fiscal stewardship with money and everything. Did you find that you approached this new life and all that it brought with it with a sense of responsibility? Did you feel like you are prepared to handle the life that was coming your way?
Absolutely. My parents did an amazing job just raising me. And money was never the focal point because we loved playing the game so much. So for me, a couple thousand dollars, six figures was just, I'm just grateful. And then I was so scared to be broke, I just saved it all. So like I was super frivolous with my money. Every once in a while, I think the biggest thing I did was I bought myself a truck because I was too big to keep riding in my Mitsubishi Galant at the time. So that's the biggest thing I did for myself. And by then I wasn't a big jewelry person. I wasn't that, I didn't drink. So I didn't, I was on different teams. So I didn't want to buy a house in the city and not make the team and have a house here and house there. So I just was very patient. And I did pretty good with the money I made with the league.
Speaking of that same discipline, as you when you move into pro, when you play professionally, it also requires a level of mental and physical stamina and a lot that comes with that. Did you find that in addition to your good physical perspective, did you find that you also had to strengthen or streamline or do something differently when it came to your focus? Like, did you say literally, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm not going to do, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm not going to do? Did you find that you had to do those things?
Absolutely. You're not going to make it, especially at the pro level. Like you're going to realize if you're not focused mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, this journey will crush you because it's so many things that you cannot control when you get to professional ranks where you have to lock in on your craft and what you're doing on and off the field. Because the minute you let up, there's literally 400, 500 people waiting to take your job the very next day you slip up. So there wasn't no such thing as bad days, when you get there, especially if you're not a high round draft pick. So I locked in to make sure I was always a good guy off the field. I didn't do a whole lot of partying. Like I said, I wasn't a drinker, so I took care of my body very well off the field. On the field, I competed at the highest level, as hard as I possibly could each and every day to make sure I gave myself the best chance to make a football team and to stay in, and also not only get in the league, but just to stay in the league as well.
That's right.
So I trained hard, to make sure my body was prepared for the pounding that I had to take to sustain myself in that league. So the focus was definitely there. And then to tell you, the people who weren't focused didn't last long at all. I mean, especially most people struggle to focus off the field because of the things that we got to play this game at a young age. It could distract you because now you're worried about the persona, the toys you could buy, the women that comes with it, and extremely unfocused and lose track, and you don't make the main thing anymore.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit because there is the allure of the trappings. And if you're not careful, the trappings of the life will actually remove you from the life.
Absolutely. It comes with the responsibility, when you get there, like if you don't understand why you are there and the purpose of it, you will be so distracted from everything else. Actually, your gift gets you removed as well. You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, your gift can get you there, but also it comes with like I remember like back in the day, when I was de developing my spiritual journey, my spiritual mother was saying, hey, Keith, you know what? The same gift, the same way you articulate words, the same reason that you have the physical stature that you have, you can use it for your good or you can use it for the bad. You know what I mean? It's your choice how you're going to use it. And that's when things started to shift for me when I understood that. It's the same thing in football. We have these gifts, physical gifts that allow us to get to this level. But because of that, it attracts certain things, good and bad things. And if we entertain things, we'll get so distracted and what God meant for us to do with it. Now we're living a life that we did not desire because of decisions we've made from our gift and not stewarding it properly.
Wow. That's profound and it's true, and it's something that hopefully people understand that lesson before they get too far down the road. And what we have seen are situations where it envelops them, right? and they're so far down the road, and everything that they've worked so hard to get dissipates because of not having that realization. You know, Keith, we're going to take a quick, yeah, go ahead.
It's almost really quick. It's almost like you get your physical ability to take you somewhere, but your character can't hold you there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
And a lot of
100%.
times you see so many guys, you know, hit that pinnacle, but the character doesn't match their talents or the gifts. So therefore, the character is gone because the character doesn't match the gifts.
That right there is it's a gem because it's true. Because you got there's the recruitment element, but there's also retention, and that retention is honed from your staying power. Keith, we're going to take a quick break right now, so just hang tight.
Whoa, like what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Mobile Farmers Market returns this summer. Our mission is to support local farms by bringing their fresh food to communities across Berkshire County. We sell seasonal produce, eggs, meat, cheese, bread, and more. Plus, we offer a sliding scale payment system. We'll be in Adams, North Adams, Beckett, Monterey, and two Pittsfield locations from June through October. Find out more at berkshiremobilefarmersmarket.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
Okay, so for my listeners just tuning in, my guest today is Keith Willis. He is a former NFL player, and he is co-founder of Elite 360 Recruiting. Now, Keith was just talking a little bit about his life when he was in the NFL, and also observations and the things that allowed him to stay there and be successful, and also the things that he saw and observed that were pitfalls, right? And so, you know, you can go up, but you can also go down. Now, Keith, I know you know, we have former NFL players. So at some point you stopped playing in the NFL. Could you talk a little bit about when you stopped playing and how was life for you afterward?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I finished playing in 2008, and I still had desire to play for another year or two after that. And it's like I said, I mentioned this yesterday when I was speaking, that 98% of the people that play in the NFL finish playing before they want to. The game is done with you before you're done with it.
Wow.
Very few people get to walk away on their own terms. So I didn't get to walk away on my own terms. So, you know, And that's why you see a lot of athletes struggle after the game is over, because you don't know when it's over. It always comes to, majority of the time, it comes to an abrupt ending. We're like, oh, is it? Now you go through this whole identity crisis, because from the time you was a kid until the time you're finished playing football or whatever sport that you may be playing, that's what you're kind of associating, what you're known as. You know what I mean? So now that you don't have 80,000 fans cheering for you the next day, now that you're cut, now that you're out the building, now that you're not on a regimen every single day, what does life look like now? And so for me, I continue to work out for 2 years after that. I continue to take care of my body. I continue to do all these things, taking flexible jobs to keep me up until I knew it was over. And then once I realized that I wasn't working out three times a day anymore, I was like, I'll do twice a day. I knew my level of desire for the game was leaving. You know, and I knew that time was up. And once it was up, I just literally, it took me another year or two to really figure out what I wanted to do with my life. You know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, I had 2 degrees. I graduated with 2 degrees and I did everything academically that I was supposed to. But now I was like, okay, football is really not here anymore. I'm really not a pro athlete anymore. Now what? And the realization of it was all the guys I went to school with, my frat brothers, my friends, people I knew, they were already well ahead in life because they got a 5-6 year head start after college. Into the real world. I realized very quickly the world I was living in, football, is a fantasy world. You know
That's
what I mean?
That's interesting that you say that. So do you feel like in some way that had put you at a disadvantage?
When it came to getting real life skills to be successful in the workplace, yes. Because we have a quiet arrogance about us as professional athletes, because our job is so glamorized by the public. You know what I mean? The money we make is a lot more than the average person is making. And so you're in this fantasy world because you're the man in high school, you're the man in college, you're making it to the pros, maybe the man there, but you're making a good living, but you realize that money doesn't continue to carry on throughout your life. Very few people get the $20, $30, $40 million deals. That's not right. That 97% of people get high six figures in a short amount of time, because it comes in a 17-week period.
Right.
Time. So I say all that because you have people who have a consistent job making 60, 70, 80, 100 plus thousand coming out of college for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, they've been able to build their financial foundation up, and they know their rhythm, routine, they're developing skills to further serve their workplace. Now we're coming out 28, 29, 30 years old into the workplace, figuring out, okay, like, we need to learn these skills, and we need to help us get caught up when we go. But on the flip side of that is that we're able to get jobs a lot faster because it's really cool to bring in athletes to the workplace. They know our work ethic, they know our commitment, our discipline.
Right.
So we come with it and we're willing to learn.
Right. Definitely there's a cachet, right? So when I say former NFL player, there's a cachet that comes with that. It opens up doors for you. So,
absolutely.
You know, that is something that the person who has not entered that realm, they don't have that. So you literally have something that will pique someone's interest on the strength of that alone. And then you bring your gifts that you have. You know, I think also too, to that point, if you're also a good steward of your finances, you also have a nice cushion too.
Yes.
But there's something also too that when you come out, you're dealing with a lot of the physicalities of that job. I mean, now, you know, the person coming out and in an office job, and they're able to build that cushion, they're also not getting pounded every Sunday, right? So there's a level of physical wear and tear that you also have to manage when you're making that transition.
No, absolutely. That's what a lot of people don't talk about, you know. And a lot of times, let me tell you, you don't feel it the first 5 years you're out because your body's so conditioned to take those hits and you're used to getting the treatment. So the hardest thing was, like, me coming out is like, wow, I need my own dentist now. I need my own doctor. I actually got to go get these bills and figure out my own insurance. You know, you got to be a grown man now. You know what I mean? And so, That part of it. And then you can't just go to the facility and get treatment when you're hurt now. You have to actually go to a doctor's office now and a physical therapist that's not covered by your team. And so that's a transition within itself. And then, you know, But after the 5 year period, when you see most athletes starting to feel their injuries, like I was cool because my body's so wired and conditioned a certain way. But now, 5+ years later, all of a sudden it's like, and a shoulder that I you know, I hurt, or the leg or knee or the feet or the back, it starts to catch up with you because you're not conditioning your body at that level anymore. But also it's just the wear and tear that catches up. That's why I see so many older athletes limping around,
right,
because of how they did or did not take care of their body. And sometimes it's unavoidable. So even now for me, there's a lot of things I just can't do physically as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the wear and tear I took, and I didn't have no surgery, so I'm grateful not to have no surgeries. But I played a position where I was engaging in full contact every single play for years.
Wow, yeah, that's intense. That's intense. And
say the football's not meant. Football's like, imagine, it's not meant for the human body. It really isn't. It's like imagine getting in the car crash 2 or 3 times over every single day. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like.
That doesn't sound pleasant, Keith. That does not sound pleasant.
It takes a special being to continue to put their body on the line every day to play this game. That's why you can't, you know, Herm Edwards, one of my former coaches for the Kansas City Chiefs, like, you can't just like this game.
Yeah.
Because if you like this game, you're not going to make it. You got to truly love this game and what the game brings. And if you can't like it, you're not going to make it because it's too hard.
Well, there's a lot of love in that, I guess, because for the poundings that you have to take, you definitely have to have a strong foundation of love. So I give it to anybody who puts their body on the line for the game. So more power to them. And I know there are plenty of folks out there who love their football, so I'm not going to go there. But I will say that, finding a second act is really a gift. And, you know, you along with your partner, Jamin Elliott, am I pronouncing his name right?
Jamin Elliott, yep.
Damon Elliott, you guys are the founders of Elite 360. I'm curious to know, when you guys came together, because he also has a background in playing professionally. When you guys came together and said, all right, this is a good business model, it works, but let's do it. You know, there's a difference between saying this is something that can work just out there, and then actually let's put in our skills and our expertise to it. Do you remember when you realized this is it for us?
Yeah, at first I had to realize it was it for myself. So I'm talking about the transition. I had to realize that what did I want to do? And, you know, I did a lot of different things, but the one thing that made my heart happy, that made my soul happy, that made my spirit jump, was the opportunity to help kids, not just coaching, but to get them an opportunity to go to college. Because I realized a lot of parents and kids did not know how to process when it came to getting a scholarship and getting an opportunity to go to college, even though they may have been good enough. And so I was very fortunate to coach at Georgetown Prep. Private school in Maryland, where I was a strength conditioning and football coach, assistant football coach. And the AD there gave me a chance to handle all the college recruiting for the athletes. And my love for the game just went to a whole other level because I really want to see these young men succeed. And so I did that for years, about 5 years. And what I realized, it was just me. And the more I helped people and the more successful I was with helping people, the more people that came. And I realized at the point where I decided to turn it off for a second, we had a couple hundred people wanting to sign up with me, and I didn't have the infrastructure to support it. So I just like pushed it away. It's like, no, I'm not ready yet. I gave it a couple years and I just prayed. It's like, all right, God, what does this look like? I know I love doing it, but I don't want to get out by it. And so at that point, I transitioned into network marketing. I did that for years and I loved it, got a lot of success, but it gave me a lot of skills and a lot of tools I needed to be successful for my dream. And when I came back to it, I was like, oh, now I know how to build the infrastructure of this business. Now I know how to run this business on a higher level and help more kids. But I knew that this wasn't supposed to be my dream by myself. Hmm. So I was patient because I talked to a lot of different people about partnering. You have to be careful who you partner with when it comes to business. That's a whole nother conversation. But I knew my brother, Jamin, who we've known each other since we were in high school because we played against each other. He was a big time athlete himself. And he was going around talking about recruiting as well around the Carolinas area.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched him for years and I was like, that's it. You know, he has we work for the same hometown. He played college ball. He's an All-American in track. He got drafted into the NFL, played pro ball. We have similar backgrounds when it comes to that. But more importantly, he has a heart for the kids. He truly cares about helping these kids get educated on the process. So I reached out to him a couple of years ago, this probably about 4 years ago, and told him what the vision was. Actually, 5 years ago, I told him what the vision was, and he was like, nah, I don't want to do it. I was like, what? Are you crazy? And so I was like, cool. And I just straight up told him, I said, well, if you think what you're doing is going to get you to the dreams that you have for you and your family, continue to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to call you back in a couple of years. And I watched him, and I knew he was loving what he's doing, but I knew it wasn't going to get him to where he wanted to business-wise, financially, if he wanted to do this only. So, but I knew I had the infrastructure and the platform and the vision that could get us both there a lot quicker. So instead of competing with each other, I said, let's complete each other, and we come together and build this thing, and we can build it a lot faster. We can scale it a lot quicker because we know what we're doing. We got different skill sets, and we can really make a lot of, make a lot of things happen. And that happened less than 2 years ago. And we came together again. And I was like, listen, and I remember I called them. I was going to Charlotte for a convention. And I was like, yo, did you hit those goals you said you went to with your business yet? And he started laughing. He's like, nah, not yet. I was like, good, you're supposed to be working with me, so let's meet up. And so we met up that day, and I showed him the vision. He loved it, and we went from there. And now we're here. We got a beautiful company with Elite 360 Recruiting, where we're educating families on the high school recruitment process and getting them exposure on their back end, and helping families navigate this process from their, you know, eighth grade all the way through their senior year until they sign a letter of intent.
I think that it's fascinating to me, one, that you knew that he was your partner, like that you, because you could have chosen anyone. And I'm listening to this story and I'm like, there's a time frame here, you know, and obviously it extended over some time, but you knew that he was the person for you. So I say that to say that when you speak about the power of partnership, it really matters who you choose to go into business with, because it's really a relationship that matters.
Yeah, it's almost like marriage. You know what I mean? Like if you don't pick right, your life could be hell for a long time, you know, but I was patient for years because I knew what I knew, and I knew what, and no matter what, when you go in a partnership, there's still things you have to learn about one another. There's a lot of ego and pride that you have to swallow to make it work. But you have to be committed, keeping the main thing, accepting more or less of a role. And we've been good about that to this point, you know? And so, because we both know we have each other's best interests, like, I'm building this business. I'm thinking about his family. I'm thinking about we got another partner who is the engineer named Steve. I'm thinking about his family when I'm building this business, because our goal is to be able to do this full time, all the time. Then we wake up and we go to sleep doing this and helping these young men and now women get into the football game. But
did you just say women? So this is for young men and women for football.
Yeah, yeah. We got all men right now, but women are starting to want to play tackle football more and more. I think I met a young lady last night at this high school up here that's playing football. She plays offensive line. And I really believe one day there's going to be a woman breaking into the college game. One's already done it, but I think we have the way people's bodies are developing. You're starting to see women dunk the basketball now.
Yeah.
You see women getting out of the hoops now. So I'm not surprised in a couple years you're going to see somebody who's so athletically gifted that they're going to end up playing, not just kicking the ball, but actually playing the actual position, offensive defense on the field. I'm going to be surprised to see that. So women are, the because of flag football, the interest of football has gone through the roof for women. But then you still got a couple of those women who are saying like, no, I want to play tackle football with the guys. I'm going to figure it out.
There's a lot to figure out there, and there's a lot right there.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah.
There's a lot there. And, you know, again, just think about our conversation that we're having and just thinking about everything that you said, when, especially when you play professionally, like it, you don't make the choice. It stops for you and you have to lean into that. How are you? So there's a you almost have a added you have a really important responsibility as you're recruiting these young players to let them know that you have this life, but let it not be your only life. So what are you doing to make sure that they are well-rounded so that they have more, that their only identity isn't wrapped up just as a player? Because you know from your professional experience that there is a life that comes after, and you never know when that life will come a calling. So you always have to be prepared. So what do you say to these young people? How do you enrich them from that perspective?
Yeah, from our business standpoint, we have a so our business, we got three core values that we talk about is helping you athletically, academically, and character-wise. And that character-wise is like our mentorship program that's built into our program. And they get monthly videos from us talking about how to develop as a man, why they're playing sports. Because we know these that what we're teaching them, like when it comes to like handshake, eye-to-eye contact, how you speak, how you dress, how you present yourself. You know, all that stuff we talk about through our membership when they sign up with us is going to help them pass the game of football. But on then when I'm going around public speaking, I'm very big on that, saying, guys, this you use football or you use athletics, don't let athletics use you, you know? And because what happens when you let athletics use you, you're done. When the game's done with you, you're done. And that's why you crash out and you don't recover from it. But if you understand that this there's some at some point the ball will go flat, meaning like your time is up. You're gonna know that you approach that game a lot differently. So I knew playing high school, college, and professional sports that this wasn't forever. So I was intentional about building relationships. I was intentional about treating people right. I was intentional about knowing how to use my platform at that time while I was hot to be able to get into certain doors and create some opportunities for myself. And so you have to know how to leverage the game to your best of your ability. And that's how you start to prepare. And I make sure we educate our kids, our clients, our family, or whoever I've got a chance to get in front of, that they know that this know when to strike, know when not to, know how to maneuver off the field. Don't think you're better than everybody else because the same people you think you're better than, you're probably gonna need a job from later on if it ends before you want to. So it's understand that we're all the same when it comes to God's children, we're all the same. But at the same time, is that understand that you're no better because you're an athlete and that person's a doctor or a person's a teacher because they have just as much impact or probably more impact than we do because we're just entertainers on one day a week. They're out there every single day making serious change. So I make sure I educate the kids on that aspect of it.
So I definitely want to delve into some of the nuggets of wisdom and the things that you impart to the students and the folks that you talk to. But just listening to you, Keith, you sound very wise. You sound very wise. You sound like an old 70-year-old man who has gone through and is on his porch. And well, maybe 70 is not so old. Maybe I'll say 80. And that you are imparting wisdom. Who spoke in your ear, Keith? Who helped you? Who was your mentor? Because the way you speak like you either have been through some things, which I know you have, but also you have other levels of wisdom and that I'm intrigued by. Who helped you?
Yeah, of course, my first mentors were my parents coming up, right? They did what they're supposed to do to get me to that next level. And then my early mentor I had was my high school basketball coach, Darnell Barber, which he was amazing for me, and Coach Matt Coleman. And then as I continued to go through life, I had some really good college coaches, you know, and well, I'm gonna tell you where my life shifted, where I started thinking differently as a man. Is when I opened my life up to God. It really did. And my pastor, Daryl Morrison, shifted my internal perspective of what manhood looks like. Because a lot of times, what we think manhood look like as an athlete is not what it really looks like outside of athletics. And I had to shift my lens, shift my, he always called my scent that I gave off. And that forced me to start reading, you know, and just learning what God wanted for me, not what the world wanted. And as I started to grow with God and just my spirituality, my thinking shifted, you know. And then also outside of that, he was a big mentor. And nowadays I've been fortunate enough to walk with some great guys. I'm really connected to some really great men that I'm able to call. at any point to help me to work through stuff. But I always look for people smarter than me. And I do a lot of reading and I stay in prayer a lot. So I look for, like, even before I do these talks, I get really quiet beforehand because I'm in constant prayer. I'm always reading. I'm always, it just like meditating to ask God to work through me and not me get in the way of that. And so God is the ultimate mentor for me. But I make sure I do my part of educating myself on I'm educating myself on my craft, on what I'm talking about. And I'm always intentionally around people who are better than me or just as good or better than me. So that's where it all comes from.
Nice. Thank you. So when you are speaking to these groups, what have you found that what thing or things that have they been most surprised to hear from you? Because they might come into with their preconceived notions. Maybe they think, oh, this is just going to be a rally and ha 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 pep talk, whatever. At the end, when they ask their questions, what blows their mind?
But actually, that is not a hype momentum session. You know what I mean? Because they're used to guys coming in, jumping up, getting them hype and motivated and everything. But I don't like to call myself a motivational speaker. I'm an inspirational speaker. It's going to last long. Motivation, you need motivation every single day you get up. It's like a shower, right? But inspiration lasts a long time. It's longer in impact. And so I like to create, and I always say, I don't like to give information. I like to create revelation when I speak. And so by the end of the talk, you can see the scales come off the kids' eyes, that they're getting more revelation because I'm connecting to I know where they are, I know where they've been, I'm connecting to heart. They're like, oh, wow, we're motivated naturally, not because he's yelling and screaming and jumping around the stage, it's because he's talking to what I'm dealing with right now, and I can apply it to, and I can take the wisdom and apply it to my life right this second. And he's already been there and done that as well, so they hear differently. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they're most surprised about, that I can actually relate to them on that level. And then number two, I believe that they're when it comes to what they're surprised about is that I'm not somebody that is, I don't make football the center of my life. You know what I mean? That they think like, oh, let me tell you about the cars, the hounds, this, that, all these different things. And it's like, yeah, football is a chapter of my life. You know what I mean? Huh. Just like, it was just like, you know, high school is a chapter, college is a chapter, pro football is a chapter, you know, certain businesses are chapters in your life. But now it's just like, it's the chapter that gets talked about the most.
Yeah.
I talk about how that chapter impacted the rest of my life, where I relate to them, where whatever sports you're playing at this level, how this is going to impact the rest of your life. So there's no difference other than the actual revenue that comes in playing that sport.
When you think about the conversations that you've been having with these groups, I know you impart a lot from them as well as they are imparting, as they are sharing with you. What takeaways or what have you heard, like a memorable experience or story that has just stuck with you that you're just like, wow, because, you know, we can be wowed by others' experiences as well. So do you recall a story or something that just made you sort of take pause or maybe think about?
Yeah, I mean, it's so many. I've been doing this for so many years. I'll tell you, there's a kid, just happened about roughly, was it 2024? Roughly a little bit over 10 years ago. And a kid that I coached in high school ball, he's probably honestly one of my favorite athletes I ever coached. His name is Andrew Kaskin. And I'll never forget when we're doing the recruiting for him and we're on the camp tour and we're at University of West Virginia and he's having a hell of a summer. He's doing his thing and we're going into his senior year. He's our team captain. He's the heart and soul of our team. And he's about to have a monster year, you know? And it was the last camp of the tour. And I never forget, he was killing it out there. And I went down, I was like, Andrew, this is your last rep. You're done, you've shown enough. And he's super competitive. He wanted to do one more rep. And he did one more rep. And on that rep, he tore his ACL. Running a route. And I saw him, he fell, there's no contact, he fell, and my heart dropped. So I ran down to the field and went up there and we picked him up, you know, and I know how tough he is. He didn't get up right away, I knew something was wrong. But I just know his wiring, how his DNA, I know how his DNA is. And so when he didn't get up, I was like, oh, shoot. And I'll never forget, the scariest phone call I had to make was to his father, because his father entrusted me with him, you know what I mean? So I felt it was my fault. even though it wasn't, but I still felt responsible because he was there out there with me. And
right.
I said all that because now I never forget, I had to let the coaches know and the coaches, high school coaches know that we lost Andrew for the season. And the grown men were crying in a room because that's how much he meant to our team on and off the field. Team was crying. You know what I mean? And so the impact he had, and he sat out his whole senior year, he missed it. But he was able to still earn a scholarship to go to play at Women Mary and play football. So he did his rehab all senior year. He gave himself a shot. He didn't quit. He kept fighting. He got a shot to play Women Mary. He became a 3-year starter at Women Mary. Maybe even almost 4 years because the senior got hurt, but he ended up playing a lot. And then he got shot at the NFL. He played with the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow.
He didn't make it have a long career, but what happened was because he, you know, I was able to mentor him for a long time. He treated people the right way. He played the game the right way. And he ended up getting, once he got cut from the Cardinals, he got picked up immediately to become a NFL scout for the Arizona Cardinals. And now he's out there, probably 5 or 6 years in now. And I always say he's going to be, in my phone, I got him saying he's a future GM. He's going to be a GM in the league in the next 5 years, a general manager in the NFL team, because he's that good. And yeah. So watching people like him go through life, knowing what he's been through, inspires and motivates me every day to continue to do what I do. Because, and there's so many stories I got like that, but that's the first one that came to my mind because he did. Let football use him. He used football to get mm-hmm. to the opportunity now. And he's impacting so many young men's lives that's coming behind him.
Wow. See, I was expecting a story, but that one right there, Keith, that's good. That's good because, and do you share that when you talk? Do you like invoke his story too?
No, I haven't. Yeah, that's probably the first time I shared it publicly.
Wow. That's really good. I mean, it's the defeat. It's the comeback, it's longevity, it's all of it. I love it. Is there anything that you would like to share? We're winding down, but if there's anything that you would like to share, any nuggets, anything from these recent talks that you've had, you know, I know you don't want to give away everything, right? Because there's a secret sauce to you being a speaker. And so that makes sense. But if there's if there's a particular takeaway or something that you'd like to share with the audience, our listeners, before we get into our final round of questions.
Yeah. The one that I would say is just no matter what, walk in gratitude. You know, walk in gratitude because we're here for a very small time on this earth. And a lot of time we think that we got so much time and we really don't. You know what I mean? Time goes by fast. A lot of these young athletes think they got all the time, all the life ahead of them. And they do.
Mm-hmm.
Biologically, they do. But there's so many distractions, what we talked about earlier, that takes kids' opportunities and lives way earlier than planned. You know what I mean? So I tell people just to make great decisions. You know what I mean? Honor this life that you've been given. Honor your body. Do the right thing. And just be in great. When you walk in a state of gratitude, other things naturally take place. And so that's one thing I consistently leave on every single stage I go across and speak on is because when we maneuver through life like we have a bunch of time within a tight open mindset, that's when things usually happen. That's not in our favor.
Well said. You have a very busy schedule, so I'm curious as to what you do to have fun. When do you have fun, and what does fun look like for you?
And let me tell you, when you ask that question, I can hear so many people in my ear. Yes, they'll tell him he needs to have more fun. I heard that from like 20 people in my head just now when you said that. But for me, my fun for me now here's the fortunate thing. I am very busy. But because I had the courage to answer the calling of my life, it doesn't feel like work, you know? And so even when I'm out there pushing and helping these kids, it's so much fun for me. And I just happen to get paid by it. You know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of times people work, but they're working because they have to. And they feel they don't want to because it takes a lot of courage to do what you've been called to do. Because a lot of times what you've been called to do doesn't come with a paycheck right away. So now they don't get to go, they don't have that fulfillment because of the what comes with it, to go chase it. And I always tell people, I was a person who didn't chase money. I chased my purpose. But as I chased purpose, the money started chasing me.
Mm.
And, you know, and so I was very fortunate to have the courage and boldness to walk into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so outside of what I do, the fun I get into is, now I'm getting older, is like, oh, let me keep my health intact. That's fun. I love going to the gym. I love playing basketball with the fellas.
Mm-hmm.
I love traveling, is always a good thing. So I make time at least 3-4 times a year to take some time to go travel. I think traveling is good for the soul. And then also, there's nothing like my inner circle of friends, quote unquote, Keith Willis. I could just have fun, be silly, do what I do, and they still respect me for who I am and what I've done in my life. And it's a mutual thing. So I'm truly grateful for that inner circle of friends I got and that I'm able to do that with, because that gives me an outlet to relax. So for me, that's what fun looks like for me. Of course, catching games, sporting events, that's always a good thing. And I tell you one thing that's recreational that I do love, that I can almost drop empty for at any point. Anytime I get invited on a boat or a yacht, let me tell you, now that's that for me, that does it. I love yachts. I love going on boats. So that's it for me.
Yeah, that's another level of living that, see, us non-NFL people, we don't know about. You know, I don't just drop yacht in my normal, you know, vocabulary. It's just not there. But, you know, though, it's well-deserved. So I hear you. All right, second to last question. What was the name of the last good book that you've read?
Oh, Start With Your Why by Simon Sinek. It's powerful. And because it can apply not only in the business, but your personal life. And when you really understand that concept, mm-hmm. let me tell you, everybody go read that book, Start With Your Why by Simon Sinek. And when you understand, truly to understand that concept and how to apply it to your everyday life, your life's going to change forever. Both financially, business-wise, personally, because you humanize yourself, even though you're trying to get certain things done.
All right. And if you had to choose one word to describe you, what would that be?
It's kind of two words, but one phrase. blind faith.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Keith. It's been a pleasure just having this conversation with you. Thank you so much for making time to stop by and talk to us here today. I really appreciate it. And to my listeners, you've been listening to Backstory. Let's Hear It on WTBR-FM Pittsfield with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thank you, everyone, and I hope you have a great day.